everybody.
Morning.
It is so good to see all of you. You look good. Thank you. You look well, and I'm proud to be among you. I'm proud to be among you. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, isn't it? No matter what, it's beautiful. We got up, right? Okay, because if we didn't get up, we wouldn't know how beautiful it was. Okay? I say this often from the core of me that I'm so blessed to, I'm actually honored to be on this road with you all. I don't know what it would be like if I was by myself, and I don't really want to know that, but this feels good. I'm still a student on the journey of life, and I'm no longer trying to get it right, I'm just trying to get it. A few weeks ago, I heard it announced that Sean was teaching a prosperity class, and I decided to take the class because, well, you know, it was time. I could feel myself needing to have a growth spurt. I was feeling kind of stagnant, like I was doing the same thing over and over again. So on a cold Tuesday night, I took myself up to St. Michael's, and I realized I was in the right class at the right time with the right teacher. And I wasn't the only one who needed to be there, needing a jump start. Some of you were there too. I know you might think that everyone who stands here before you is perfect. You're sitting there, we're up here, we look like amazing. Well, let me clear it up for you. It's not true. No matter who you are, your soul kind of lets you know when it's yearning for a little more. A few weeks into Sean's class, using Edwin Gaines's book, Sean announced that he's going to do that exercise of not complaining, not criticizing, not gossiping. Any takers, he says. I raised my hand. Yes, yes. I remember that one from a long time ago, Sean. I want to do it again. I was ready for the challenge. Day one. Okay, I have to start again. Day two. Start again. You know, Sean always says that no matter what day you're on, start again. So I noticed immediately that as long as I was alone in my own thoughts, I did well. But the moment I engaged with other people, I had to start all over again and again and again. Well, that was somewhere in February, and I made it for almost six straight days, but then I had to start over again. And I'm starting all over again today, too. Okay, I'm gonna get it. Julia Abigail Fletcher Kearney wrote this poem, which is sometimes titled Little Things. It goes like this. Little drops of water, little grains of sand, make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. So the little minutes, humble though they be, make the mighty ages of eternity. That was one of my father's favorite poems, and he recited its words so often that I memorized it easily. And I still recall to this day how he used to close his eyes and let the words flow from his mouth, almost like he was reading a scroll. Time moves along. Whether we're paying attention to it or not, the seasons change, the trees shed, and the ground gets hard and cold. But when the ground softens and the frost is gone, it's time to plant new seeds. Plant those collard greens, those mustard greens, those turnip greens, and some flowers. Some farmers and gardeners, depending on what area they live in, plant new seeds according to the moon. My mother would sometimes wait to pick the collards in her backyard when they were full of frost. She said that made the greens more tender. We all have our way of doing what we do, our own rituals that make us feel more settled in. I remember my father planting strawberries only once, but year after year in that exact same spot, a few of those strawberries would just come back, show up and make an appearance. Seems to me that the only one who knows when the time is right, is you. When it's time to plant new seeds of your desires, you're the only one that knows that the time is right. Another theme I'm hearing a lot these days is the yes theme. Shonda Rhimes wrote a book about it, and Sean talked about it also in the prosperity class, and Britt talked about it at the retreat, so I decided it was time for me to say yes. You know, yes, that word we learned would be so high before we started saying no. So I decided it was time to say yes. And not just yes to anything, yes to the power within you, yes to your talents, yes to the new ideas rising to the surface of your inner guidance system. Yes, yes, yes. And so the universe heard my prayer, and then all of a sudden, right after the retreat, I started saying yes to everything that felt right. Yes, yes, yes. So I got a call. Can you do an adult literacy workshop? Yes, I said bravely. Well, what would you do in such a workshop? Hold on a minute, I'm gonna text you in about 5 minutes. I wrote a whole curriculum. It was amazing. Poetry, literature, music, theater, articles. I was ready for my yes. I pushed the send button. The person on the other end says yes to my yes. So now I'm super excited. All I have to do is GPS my way to Diker Heights. And then it's on. So it was a Saturday morning. I found the place. I affirm my parking space, got the right parking space. I'm so excited. I find the room. I put in the sound system. And then a man named Mr. Pedro walks in. I said, Mr. Pedro, I'm so happy to meet you. He says the same. And then he asks me, do you speak Chinese? Chinese? Yes. Do you speak Chinese? So now my mind is spinning because I don't want to open my mouth and talk my way out of my yes or my prosperity. And so I said to him, Mr. Pedro, why do you ask? He said, there are a few Chinese speaking people downstairs. And I said, I speak human. Send them up. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he left the room. And then a few minutes later, he came back and said, do you speak Spanish? I said, un poquito. Why do you ask? There's a lot of Spanish-speaking people downstairs, too. I said, Mr. Pedro, send them all up. I figured if my yes sent me all the way to Diker Heights early on a Saturday morning, then surely I would be shown what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Now, what I ended up doing had nothing at all to do with the lesson plan I had. I realized that all those people wanted to do was to learn English and to have fun. Right away, I wrote on the board, singer for the day, Bill Withers. I pointed to the sunshine, and I told them, this is a lovely day. They said, this, put your tongue for your teeth, honey, this is a lovely day. I put that music on, played the song. You should have seen the smiles on their faces when they realized that they were dancing and singing in English, Bill Withers' Lovely Day. The next week, they returned with more friends and relatives. Using some of the same sentences they had learned the previous week, like, Miss, you look amazing. I need the men's room. I need the ladies' room. The song for that week was Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And so, the next week, Who's going to be our artist? Who's the sound? Fifth dimension. Let the sun shine in. They laughed over themselves, tripped over vowels and consonants, lips and tongues, and kept right on being determined. So don't be surprised if your yes takes you into the unexpected. Spirit will guide your way. Tupac Shakur captured the essence of the growth process in a beautiful poem he wrote called The Rose That Grew From Concrete. Some of you may have heard it. Here it is. Did you hear about the rose that grew from the crack in the concrete? Proving nature's law is wrong. It learned to walk without having feet. Funny it seems, but by keeping its dreams, it learned to breathe fresh air. Long live the rose that lived from concrete when no one else even cared. Long live the rose that grew from concrete when no one else even cared. Tupac states that when this rose shows up, nobody says, look at all the scratches and look at all the bruises. They just say, dang, a rose grew from concrete. It's not what you've been through, church family. It's how you rise up from what you've been through. That's what's remarkable. Especially when others don't seem to get you, but you. Yes, you obviously had enough of your own faith to proceed on your journey. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. You are that delicate rose, and you are the concrete making way for your continuous blossom. You gotta want it for yourself, just like Jay Bass. He is one of the shortest stories in the Bible. In 1 Chronicles 4th chapter 9 through 11th verse, it says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez because she bore him in pain. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, and keep your hand upon my life, and keep evil far away from me, so that I will not cause pain or receive pain. And God granted his request. Now, in a nutshell, you never hear another word from Jabez in the whole Bible. But according to scripture, Jabez kept it simple. Just like that rose underneath the ground in the Tupac room, he wanted more for himself. More than a name that implied a life of pain. More than the lineage of his family, he wanted expansion. Other translations of that same scripture say that he requested that his coast be enlarged. But whatever translation you go along with, we don't have to take what we have as it is, especially if we have the desire to change. Jabez decided to rewrite his storyline and to expand upon his desires. It didn't matter if he was more or less honorable than his brothers. His desire was not to live in pain or lack or in doubt. We are in charge of our own garden's growth. That rose, so insistent about its growth. Just think about that rose. The seeds taking root in the darkness, grasping, gesturing for a glimpse of sunlight, a moment of fulfillment, trying to find a place between the cracks to get enough oxygen. The audacity of that rose to rise up at just the right moment and to spread its petals through the harshest concrete with all intentions of surviving. More than any other area of our lives, our friendships and our relationships show us what time it is. When it's time to throw up the hands, time to try it one more time, or one last time, or no more times. When to chill, when to surrender, when to forgive, when to let go. And letting go is not easy. Some of you know that a few months ago, and it still feels like yesterday, myself and my whole family, we had to let go. My nephew, Keon, was no longer with us. He was such a determined kid growing up. He had a paper route. He played tennis. He was on the swimming team, the football team, the basketball team. He played drums at church. He was the one you could always depend on every time. As a father, as a husband, as a firefighter and first responder, he had such a drive. He was strong, in the best shape, always first off the rig. Carrying others to safety was his calling. We were so excited when my sister was pregnant with Keon. We couldn't contain ourselves. He was born on the first day of April. And the hospital made it very clear that only the immediate family could go into the hospital room. The parents and the grandparents and great-grandparents. And that was it. And in my mind, I was like, As soon as they said no, I said yes. I went out and found the oldest, ugliest gray wig that you can imagine. Got a cane, I walked right in there. I said, I'm the great grandmother. And I walked right in to see my precious baby Keon Donzell. He was the light of our lives. The last time I saw him was the end of August, the end of July rather, 2017. He was diagnosed with cancer in August. At the end of August, I was casting the show, Surely Goodness and Mercy, that a few of you came out to see me in Newark. The director of that show, Rodney Gilbert, was my ace boom boom. He was the one who showed me around Newark. He was the one who understood me. We worked on shows together, all over everywhere. He called me backstage one day after rehearsal and asked me to pray for him. I did. I prayed for him. I prayed for Keon. The prayer team here prayed with me for Keon. The show went up. I kept going. Rodney left first. I left his repast memorial, puffy face and swollen lipped, and got home and picked up the phone to call my sister, and they said, hey, glad you called. I'm gonna let you FaceTime Keon. I said, okay. I knew he was struggling. I knew what the prognosis was, but I was not giving up on my nephew. It was the Friday before Thanksgiving. Hey, Auntie G, he said, hey, baby. You're a warrior, I told him. Yes, he said. I love you, man. I love you too. See you Wednesday, okay? The next day, as the sun spread across my living room, I got a text. Keon's breathing has slowed down. And less than 5 minutes later, Keon is gone. I was numb. I was angry. I was done. What to do with all these affirmations and prayers spread everywhere in my living room? But it was time to surrender and be there for my sister and my brother-in-law. I had no choice. A few weeks later, my godbrother Dennis gone. And then my cousin Hazel gone. I was done. All I could do was surrender. It was time to let go. Life has so many unexpected twists and turns and curves and moments where you have to recalculate. But the one thing I believe in strongly is love the ones you love while you can love them. Let people know how much you appreciate them. Forgive the ones you can't forgive, and when it's time, and only you know when it's time, continue to move on to your highest good. The universe is still waiting for your yes. Autumn makes way for winter. Winter makes way for spring, and you make way for your own expansion by forgiving yourself for any and everything. Forgive the way you overcriticized yourself. Forgive the way you didn't have enough courage to stand up when somebody else put you down. For all the times you felt like you goofed up and fell through when you were simply growing. There's no way to go back, but this now, this today, is the moment of your transformation. It's time for you to make peace with who you are and where you are at this moment in time. So right now, we're going to do a little exercise together. Did all of you get a little index card when you came in and a pencil? And if you didn't, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will get it to you. Anybody else need one? Thank you, ushers. I appreciate it. Got some people down in the front on this side, right in the middle here. Oh, if people in the balcony on this side need some too? You got it? Okay, good. Thank y'all. Everybody good? Still got one more right here in the balcony. Oh, we got it. Okay. Oh. Okay. Everybody, let's take a deep breath. Center yourself right here, right now. Just ground yourself. Take another deep breath. We rarely get time for ourselves. Remember when you were a kid and you made those stick figures of yourself? Draw a stick figure of you. Okay? Now, when you get home, you can get more fancy if you want to. You can go into more detail. But right now, just draw that stick figure of you. Good. Now, remember when we were kids that we also had those little hearts that we would draw all over every place, or those big cloud bubbles that you can write things in like the comic books, or sometimes you made a sunshine. Make a bunch of sunshines or a bunch of hearts, whatever you want to make, but leave room inside of them to write things in. They should surround you. Take another deep breath for me. Now, inside of the bubbles, or those hearts, or those sunshines, I want you to put some words that make you feel easy, like joy, or love, or calm, or laughter, wonder, comfort, peace. Take a deep breath, let it out. Now, I want you to draw a big heart over your heart on the stick figure. Okay. And I want you to put these letters inside of the heart. F O R G I V E N. Forgiving. Like I said, you can take this home and add more color and definition if you desire. But for right now, I want you to take that card in your hand and I want you to hold it against your chest and listen to these words.
It doesn't really matter what you did anymore. Doesn't really matter what you did it for, or who you did it to. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Totally.
To have the courage to do what only you can do. Breathe, live, grow, expand. Open your eyes and repeat after me. I am enough.
I am enough.
Yes, I am enough. I release the old.
I welcome the new.
It's time to do
what
I came forth to do.
I am brilliant, resilient, amazing, and dynamic.
Let's try that one more time. Let's put a little bit more force into that, okay? Those are strong words. You gotta own them. I'm brilliant, resilient, amazing, and dynamic. Forgiving myself daily is my newest habit. If you feel the urge to do something new, try one of the classes here at Unity. Or volunteer to become part of the welcome team. Or to be in the choir or prayer chapel. There's a place here for your expansion. Right here, right now, you are not alone. Even if you doubt, walk forward, take a step, then another step. Next thing you know, you'll be sprinting. Go ahead. Whenever you say it's time, it's time. Just as Mother Earth is constantly replenishing herself with beauty and creativity, blessing, nourishing, healing, and forgiving, this piece that you're about to witness by the dynamic women in our women's group here at Unity of New York demonstrates the necessity of blessing ourselves and one another diligently. Forgiving one another, loving one another, praying for one another, and knowing that every moment is a sacred moment of recycled forgiveness. It is titled, It Takes a Village, and the music is by Saquon Kitt. And we're dedicating this piece to all of you and to women all over the planet.